They're checking cherubim pots by torchlight down the daily. Chatter boys are tying paternosters at Cullen Bay. Tinnies are being towed to target on the Arnhem Highway. Over in Gove, they're rigging up teasers for the big boys. There's an air of anxious optimism at harbourside boat ramps in the pre-dawn gloom. And in the suburbs, Smith.
What?
Moore.
What? What?
Get out of bed and get on with it.
Good morning, fishos, and welcome aboard the Tinny on the Morning, where the old adage of one chapter closing as another one opens is particularly true. Certainly for the Daily River, the classic wound up with good numbers on the board and a good time had by all accounts. Now the page turns to the Palmy Game Fishing Club and the Nats, with conditions looking cherry ripe. Meanwhile, the other big rivers are still producing. Badger's year of the bong seems to be coming to fruition, and the harbour is also going a treat. Fantastic, isn't it, fishers? It's great to be alive! G'day, I'm Robert Smith. This is Tales from the Tinny. Sitting opposite me, a bloke who's just revels in the absolute joy, the joie de vie of being alive. Every day he gets up and takes his pulse and says, "That's fantastic! I'm alive again!" Timothy Moore, how are you, champ?
The joie de vie.
The joie de vie, mon ami.
That's why, Robert, that's why you're in such high demand for cultural art exhibition openings, etc., etc. Tonight, the Mango Festival. The territory
Mango Growers Convention.
The Mango Growers Convention.
Will not you be mangrove growers.
Will you be using that phrase? I don't even know what it means.
Joie de vie. I might slip it in now. I think I will. I'll slip it in now. The joy of life.
The joy of life. How can you not be full of it at this time of the year?
I'm full of it all the time and every time of year.
That was an obvious one, wasn't it?
It was.
Because the fishing is terrific. Still a little bit blowy offshore. The harbour's easterly winds 10 to 15 knots, Rob, before an afternoon northerly sea breeze to 10 knots. So at least a bit milder than last weekend. It might be an opportunity to get out on the blue where reports of snapper,
still,
Jewfish and lots of queenies in the harbour. Really good blue water reports for those getting out in between the windbreaks. The issue is really big tides. 7.2 metre high at 9 o'clock this morning, dropping to 2.5 metres at, let's call it 3 o'clock, the Savo. And then neapening out.
If you can find a bit of shelter, though. Very good. Spoke to Keith Watson, who we'll be hearing from later on, who did well in the harbour. He was saying he didn't get any because he doesn't mess with those sort of fish. But big queenies just cutting a swathe through the shallows.
He got barra, did he?
Yeah, chasing barra. And a couple of snapper too, I think.
As you mentioned, the Daily, what an outstanding comp. I mean, for those who don't fish it, which is the majority, really, It's a great sort of litmus test, I suppose, on how the river's performing. 1,558 fish caught over the comp. The biggest, 117 centimetres, which is terrific fishing compared to, I think it was something like only 300 or 350 last year. So the Nats, which I think kick off on Sunday, is the river's primed. The question is, I mean, it's a different set of tides.
And it'll all be trolling, I believe.
Yeah, they're saying, though, that the river hasn't really cleared up to that clear kind of green water yet. It's still a little bit
definitive trolling territory.
Yeah, yeah.
We must mention, of course, our compatriot here at the ABC, Rocky Edwards, took out the Best Sheila.
Best Sheila. Well
Best
done,
Sheila
Rob.
At the Classic. She's a classic.
They got a lot of them trolling right down the guts, apparently.
The big, long 10-inch...
Yeah, I don't know. Warren will have the details. Warren DeWitt joining us in just a moment. Some other things to stay tuned for, fishos. We'll go through the Daily. We'll have a look at the Mary, a look offshore as well. But some really important fishy news coming up as well, starting from next week. New artificial reefs off the Lee Point area.
And exciting.
Well, we've heard about the scuttling of various ships out there. Thanks a lot to the Fish Finder Forum boys who have been heavily involved with that. This is the next level, though. Up to 600 culverts will be dropped to create a real habitat out there to take pressure off the bottle washer and Rick Mills. If you've ever fished that area, you see how little room there is and how much pressure there is on particularly the bottle washer. So more details of that coming up this morning, too. Something to look forward to.
Mm.
And last weekend, the Elvis number, Meter Long Barra, you've got to say, went off a hit. You did your best, Rob.
We actually, Badge did a lot of hard work putting the lyrics up during the week because we missed most of the lines and others were unintelligible. But yeah, anyway.
The video's up there if you want to have a look, Fishos. If you didn't catch it on the webcam last week, you can find it at ABC Tales from the Tinny on Facebook or visit abc.net.au/tinny if you want to have a look at that video. You can visit us on Facebook throughout the morning too, or you can text in 0487 991057 or give us a bell on 1300 Mullet.
The harbour today, the Bureau tells us easterlies at 10 to 15 before an afternoon northerly sea breeze to 10 knots. That's not too bad, really. Seas to a metre. The Sunday outlook pretty much the same, so that's actually a bit of an abatement, I think, of the conditions.
Absolutely. Maybe a window this weekend for the blue if you like fishing over the big tides. 11 past five on the tinny.
Here's a bit of Jimmy to get your morning off to a hallucinogenic start. Tales from the Tinny on ABC local radio right across the territory. Bit of dirt, bit of distorted guitar, bit of Jimmy on a Saturday morning at 14 past five. Tales from the Tinny. Timothy, a bloke that we missed last week, and our world was poorer for it, was the rampaging champion of the Catharine region, Galloping Warren DeWitt. How are you, fella?
Oh, I'm a lot warmer this week than I was last week. I mean, I went down the Roper last week and went down on Friday night, and I've never experienced cold like it in the Territory in my whole life.
Truly. Well, stay tuned, Warren, because later on in the program, we have got a boating innovation for you.
Oh, yeah.
A craze that is sweeping the top end. Like I don't know. It's going off like marbles, going off like iPhones.
It'll keep you warm and feed you.
Heater?
You can, no.
Oh,
you,
oh.
You
could work in tandem. Well, you could do it. No, you wouldn't use it.
How did the Roper fish?
Yeah, pretty good, actually. It's sort of in that transition period where it's starting to finish off. The runoff's basically completed now, and the river's still not quite clear enough to sort of say it's good for trolling because there's still a fair bit of sediment and a bit of colour in the river, but certainly the last of the creeks, when you can find any of those creeks that still had a bit of water coming in off the floodplain, certainly fish well. And one creek we found there on Saturday, we got 55 barra in one session there, and they were all in that 70, 80 centimetre mark, and it was certainly good fun. And the fish, I've never seen them as big and fat as what they are.
We're just hearing that all across the top end, isn't it? They've been in a good paddock.
They have. That's exactly right. They're spewing out bait all over the place. When you hook them up and they come up and they shake their head and there's scats and prawns and mullet and everything come flying out of them. And one stage there, I hooked one barra up and he come up to the surface and threw his head around and out come up. A fairly large mullet would just then charge straight across the river to the other side. So he was still alive and come flying out of his mouth. And the barra had taken a soft plastic at the same time that I'd thrown in there. So
he took the mullet, then the soft plastic.
Mm.
We're hearing the same in terms of the size and quality of these fish from the billabongs as well. Corroboree, they're reporting the same out of Corroboree, which is fishing pretty well too.
Yeah.
How many did you get all up?
110.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, it was at times a little bit of a struggle with the changing of the tide, incoming tide. It sort of shut things down a little bit. But when the tide was sort of coming out and it was sucking out that last of that flood water out of those creeks up the top of the Phelps, it certainly fished really well and we had a great time, yeah.
So that was on the build from the Neeps, Warren?
Yeah, just on the build from the Neeps.
And that was the prime time?
Yeah, pretty well much. I mean, you like it. You know, well, I was hoping that the river was going to be a bit clearer, so that's why I sort of went on those tides so that you could trawl in the river as well, but we couldn't trawl because the river was way too dirty still. So we just sort of looked for the creeks and that up the top of the last of the run-in.
They reported the same on the Daily, Warren, where you've heard the stats from the comp. It fished really well, and they were saying it was still dirty and hadn't quite cleared up yet. But in some respects, isn't the fishing really good at that time? Because you're getting the very end of the runoff before you get into this clear water, river-settled trawling pattern.
Exactly right. I mean, certainly in the Daily, because the fish have sort of been on the creeks and now they're moving out and starting to look for positions to take up in the snags, or in the Daily, for an example, there is so much mullet coming up the river that those fish now sort of switch their attention to those mullet getting a free ride up and down with those bigger tides, and they talk about just trawling up the middle of the Daily. Well, that's the reason why they're doing it, is those mullet are sort of taking a free ride on the incoming tide, and then the barra are taking a free food with them as they sort of come up and down with the tide.
They hang under a lot of that flotsam and jetsam too, don't they, that moves up and down the river, the logs and whatnot. They often find barra, well, mullet and barra under there.
Yeah, exactly. Hiding them, and rafts of weed and stuff like that.
It is a little bit frustrating when you're trying to trawl and that sort of stuff as well, because you talk to the guys that were doing it and they were sort of continually clearing their line or lures from getting hooked up. But they said if you just persevered with it, eventually you'd get a window where it didn't get hooked up, and then you'd were lucky enough, you'd get whopped by a really good-sized barra. And these barra that they were hooking were, you know, jumping out of the water and they're saying, oh, that's a metre. But when they were tagging and releasing them, they were sort of 85, sort of sizes like that, because they had shoulders that's so big on them that they looked easily a metre-sized fish. But they were in the 85s, and there were a lot of good fish in that metre-plus area that smoked a lot of blokes too, you know, and just took them straight across into the snags, and they just couldn't stop them because they were just too fit.
Yeah, they're full of steroids. I mean, if you get a metre fish and it's got that around the shoulders, it's going to take some stopping, isn't it?
Oh, tremendous fish. You know, and even like on the Roper, when I was fishing down there on the weekend, and we were hooking fish in the 80s, and I could swear I had tuna on there at one stage. They were that strong, and they just would not come up with their head. They were just putting their heads down and just thumping away underneath the boat, and you're looking, and I was fishing with my son Brendan, and we're looking at each other and saying, where are we? Are we in blue water or are we in the rivers here, mate? These things just won't come up. And that's what they were saying, the same on the Daily. They just were so strong, and they had just keep their heads down and move into the current and just try and pull as hard as they can, because they've got so much condition on them, as you're saying, that they just don't give up too easy.
You told us before, Warren, how the Vic River doesn't have that big a floodplain catchment, so it doesn't run off for as long. Has that quietened down now after an outstanding few or a couple of months?
It has quietened down a little bit, but that's because everybody's left there and gone to the other river systems. There's not too many people out there fishing at all, and I would suspect that if you went out there on the neap tides now, that you would still catch reasonable fish, but not the same numbers as what people get blurry-eyed with say, like the Roper or the Daily. So that's why the Vic falls behind a little bit in that trolling period, because you have to sort of be prepared to put in a few hours out there to catch fish, and the rewards are not quite as high as what you do get in, the bigger river systems that have got the floodplains, which hold a lot larger numbers of barra.
Righto, Warren, looking good for the Nats too.
Oh, yeah, I reckon so. It's going to be interesting with the Nats because they're starting it off on fairly big tides and working back the other way, which is a little bit of a reverse of what we normally do.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how the tactics play out with the Nats, because I'm talking to a few boys who say, oh, well, it mightn't be too bad, and others are saying, oh, I don't like the idea of the tides being too big at the start, and then we're going to have to come home. And it'll be a bit of a sprint, I reckon, to the line, because I reckon it'll start off reasonably good and then it'll pick up momentum as it goes down into the...
Into the Nepa tides, yeah. All right, Warren, catch you next week, brother. Have a good weekend.
All right, boys, see you later.
Warren DeWitt, who's president of AFANT and with Rod and Rifle in Katherine. Stay tuned for shows too. It's coming into that season where we've got to start thinking about billfish, Robert. After a couple of outstanding seasons out around the Fog Bay area, north and south gutters as well over recent years.
And there was a lot of talk just a month or so ago, but then quietened down a little bit with the big blow we've had, which makes life a bit difficult for the bills. But looking like a good season, apparently.
It is, and John Sykes is one of the keenest bill fishermen of the top end that we've ever heard of. He's going to join us in the studio after 6 o'clock to run through some of the basics, fishos, if you want to increase your options and variety of species that you're able to target. We'll try to start from the very beginning, because it can be a bit of a complex setup for billfish, can't it, Rob? He'll join us after six. And if you've got any questions or you've got some things you want to know about basic targeting of billfish at this time of year, where, how, tackle, rigs.
Give us a text.
Technique. Yeah, text us 0487 991057. 0487 991057.
23 past 5.
G'day, it's Jamie from Paradise.
How you doing, Jamie?
Not too bad, thanks.
The river was really, really tough last year. After day one, how's it looking?
Oh, pretty good compared to last year. Probably equal to what 2009 was.
Why is 2009 so significant, Jamie?
We actually won the comp that year.
Oh, okay. So you're drawing a parallel here, are you?
No, I'm trying to.
Now, after checking the scores for day one, it was interesting because the top two teams, they got all their fish were big fish, and then also there was some top scores in there with a lot of small fish. So it looks like there's a lot of options. What are your plans for the rest of the competition?
Pretty much early of the morning, getting close to the snags.
Yep.
And if we can actually get that water to clear up during low tide, probably start smashing some of the rock bars.
Yep.
Having a go there.
Is that what you did in 2009?
Pretty much. Pretty much. It was not too bad in 2009. We hit a lot of rock bars, but same thing. We also spent a lot of time in the snags.
Yep.
But the fish were more consistent around the 70 centimetre mark. So.
And were you the competitor that used the same lure for the whole competition?
Certainly am.
Caught all your fish on one lure?
I've got it here.
You've got it here? Oh, okay.
Tales from the Tinny.
Yeah, I never lost the lure the whole comp, so it was pretty good.
On ABC local radio across the territory.
Jamie, fishing the daily in the recently completed Classic. Fadge was down there during the week speaking to the punters, and we'll be catching up with a few people who managed to stop for long enough to speak to the Fadge on the mighty daily for the Classic. As the morning progresses.
And the Fadge called it the year of the bong. We're honouring him throughout the morning because it looks like it's heading that way, particularly on Corroboree, which has only been open a couple of weeks. After the weather, we'll check in with the Weather Bureau next and find out how it's looking offshore, particularly over this weekend. And then the fly fishers are off to Corroboree, probably just waking as we speak for their comp out there, and let you know how that's been fishing pretty damn well, apparently, which is good news. So stay tuned for more info on Corroboree.
Here's year two on Tales from the Tinny. 25 past five. You too, Everlasting Love on Tales from the Tinny on ABC local radio right across the territory, 106.1 and Catherine 747 out in the Jabbers, 990 over in the east in the Gulf at Gove.
As the sun prepares itself to rise over Corroboree on what will be, no doubt, yet another freezing morning.
Chills the morning with the fingerless gloves.
The billabong's only been open a couple of weeks, just in time for the fly fishos comp out at Corroboree. Kathy Bassett, we decided we better catch up with this morning. Because, Kathy, good morning. You brained it when it first opened, didn't you? Is that a fair call?
It was only 158.
Which for Corroboree
is
an absolute braining, Kathy.
It certainly was. You know, it was an absolutely fantastic couple of days. You know, only up to about 68 centimetres the bale were, but geez, what great fun. And they're absolutely beautiful. They're healthy, they're fat, they're yellow, they're golden, and they're on.
Yeah. Now, when you're saying yellow and golden, yellow finned and some are golden.
Yeah, beautiful colours, you know, no dark, you know, the swamp dog looking ones yet, you know, they're just all beautiful, fresh looking and just, you know, and just ready to go on to the flies.
What a fly fisherman call a session like that then, if it's not braining it?
Unbelievable.
Right, no, that would have been...
A good day.
You wouldn't have experienced fishing like that at Corroboree in a while, would you, Kathy?
Not. Yes, yeah. We all know, you know, Corroboree last year was pretty slow, but guys, the comp this year is just going to be unbelievable. But the only problem is we think a few peaked yesterday.
You say again?
On the practice run.
Oh, really?
Because they were catching up to 85 centimetre bar yesterday.
Oh, leaving their best way, letting them go before the comp.
On the practice day.
How much ground are you covering, Kathy? Are you all over the swamp, or have you got a particular sort of...
No, all over. There's no limits there. All over.
And so most of the fish in the last session, I know it was a couple of weeks ago when the water was a little bit higher, but most smaller, you know, smaller than 65, you said. Where were you getting them mostly? What sort of... Describe the sort of areas you were targeting and how you were finding them, Kathy.
On corners, basically, you know, we could find a bit of an underhanging bank, all down deep at one stage. But then we noticed during the day, especially the big ones, the 80, 90 centimetre ones, they were actually coming up to the top in like packs of three or four and just swimming along the top, having a great old day.
So they were actually shallower as the day warmed?
Yes.
Coming up to the warmer water perhaps, yeah?
I'd agree with you there, yeah.
And
so it was just really interesting to see.
Was it important to find the flowing water? Because a lot of the fishers who have been doing well at Corroboree recently are really targeting those few areas where the water's still flowing in, or there's a little bit of current and movement in the water.
And guys, that's so true. You know what they always say, no run, no fun.
Yeah.
And that was very, very important. Find the flow, you'll find the fish. Mm. And as long as you can get through the tarpon, the barra under those tarpon.
There are big mobs of tarpon as well, eh?
Yes.
And that had a bit of a clear out, I'm told. I haven't been out there myself yet, but the big wet gave the reeds and the weeds and the lilies a bit of a clean up.
It certainly did. The dead stalks are there. No, basically hardly any lily pads. And we found, because of that, with the togas, we also found them down deep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And a few of those coming in, Kathy? Because they're big point scorers for your comp.
They're a prize fish like the barra, double points, and there's a few of those around. One of our club members the other week when we were out there caught a 72-centimetre toga, so that was lovely on fly.
Mm. What time's line's in?
6:30.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck to you, mate. Let's hope you haven't peaked too early. I have some good news, too. Last week we were talking about awesome overnight... fishing rigs, you know, setups on boats.
Yep.
It's come to our attention. We will learn a little more later. It's come to our attention, though, that there is a man in this comp who has on his vessel for the morning a 12-volt pie warmer. So if you can find that man, his name is Dave the Fishing Prostitute.
Know him well.
Shuffle up and demand a sausage roll, Kathy, and maybe to heat your hands on the 12-volt element.
Now, we were workshopping this a little bit around the office earlier on, Kathy. Now, the boys have been using this as a pie warmer, as it's made, but we were postulating that in the fly fishing comp, it might possibly be used more to heat some, you know, some asparagus and smoked salmon quiches, or possibly some nice vol-au-vents. Or maybe some quiche Lorraine? Would that be closer to the mark?
A little bit, yes. I love it. I'm going to ask for my sausage roll with sauce, though.
Oh, with sauce. Very highbrow. Very highbrow.
Good on you, Kathy.
No stopping you, fly mob. No flies on you, fly mob. I see you, Kathy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And you have the honour of having the first play of the year. Yes, Fadge's called it the year of the bong, and it's shaping up to be just that.
Mark Cursor. Marcus is duty forecaster at the Bureau. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, good, thanks, Tim.
The weather, thankfully, the winds at least have eased a little bit from last weekend, from a brief look at the forecast.
Yeah, that's correct. They have. They were pretty fresh last weekend, but not quite so bad today and tomorrow, and probably Monday as well, and even easing a little bit more across most waters, today and tomorrow. We are expecting another burst of southeasterlies making their way up through the territory early in the week and reaching, the southern Gulf waters Tuesday and then right through the coastal waters Wednesday. So enjoy while it lasts.
So towards the end of the week, we can expect a stampede run on the pie warmers.
It will be another burst of cool air. The overnight minimums in Darwin will drop below 20 and, probably 15 or so in the rural area. Currently, it's not been quite so bad. It's gotten down to 21 in Darwin overnight and 17.9 in the rural area. So, a little bit warmer than well, I suppose it's been that way the last few days. And the next few days, not so bad. But like I said, later in the week, chilly again with cooler temperatures coming through, and also windy, you know. So
this is the window.
Yeah, little window. It's still pretty fresh off the north and east coast of the top end, you know, say near the Vessels and through the Gulf of Carpentaria, especially well offshore. And there's that morning burst period, even here on the west coast, that, you know, it could get up to around 15 knots off the coast for
down the centre, mate. Three dog nights down there still.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been so bad. I mean, it's been a little bit warmer the last couple of days, and tonight it's warmer again, 8.7.
That's not too bad for this time of year. Are they getting breezes down there?
Not really. I guess the light northerly is on the cards, or has been the case the last couple of days, and again today. There is a trough moving through later today and tonight, and behind that will be a deep southerly, which is the one that's going to come up through the territory early in the week and, you know, hit us here in the top end by the middle of the week. But they'll get it much earlier down through the Alice, so we're expecting the temperatures to plummet actually at Alice Springs tomorrow, down to 22 after today, getting up to 28 or so, and then back even, you know, below 20, say 19 and then 17 by the middle of the week down there. So pretty cool, yeah.
Excellent. Catch you in an hour, Mark.
See you, Tim.
Mark Kersimakis at the Bureau. Stay tuned, Fishos. In just a moment's time, the real truth from the tinny on planking. Fantastic news that the more testosterone you have, men, the lower your risk of Alzheimer's. So man the hell up.
I thought you were saying the more testosterone you have, the less inevitability that you will plank.
Maybe so. There's a poll online if you want to vote on this ridiculous craze that is planking. We will talk more about that shortly. And also some terrific news, Fishos, on new artificial reefs and wreck structures that are being dumped out at Lee Point on Tuesday. I might even have a GPS mark.
There she is, Kacey Chambers with Train Wreck Baby. I like that funky little tune. 18 minutes to 6, Tales from the Tinny. When you need to know, you need to tune in to the man who knows. That man, Timothy Moore with Fishing News. What have you got for us? Scoop!
Thank you, Robert. How about this news? I couldn't resist sharing it. Low levels of testosterone in older men has been associated with the onset of Alzheimer's. So if you don't have enough testosterone, you get Alzheimer's. Not news that testosterone...
Or otherwise, the inability to throw a leg over will send you mad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you've drummed it down to the level I was hoping for.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily news that testosterone prevents irrational behaviour. The evidence for that's clear. But
irrational behaviour and erectional dysfunction.
Does this justify time spent in our sheds, Robert? Does it justify the need for a top-end territory man school where every man is taught how to change a tyre on his vehicle? Promoting these elements of testosterone in order to stave off Alzheimer's. That would be my argument anyway. Too long a bow?
Yeah, well, are we talking about saving off in like the late middle age or something? Surely by then, if you haven't the ability to change a tyre by late middle age.
Well, Rob, this is my point. Have you not engaged at all in the territory or in your lifetime with middle-aged men who are still unable to change their own tyre? It is a dead set bloody outrage, and it's happening right around us as we speak.
Maybe I just don't have time for them and don't see them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't see you. You are transparent to me.
You do not exist to me. They are walking around us.
They are
ghosts of men, but they do exist.
Husks.
The new plan for Litchfield has been released, Rob, which includes a new resort, New mountain bike tracks, and a little bit of a plan to stamp out the Bogans.
Aye.
Which I think is a bit disturbing.
Mm.
One of the great joys of going to Wongai and Tolma is seeing the lovely Bogans indulging. What they're saying is they're thinking about banning glass.
Mm, which is possibly a sensible idea.
Maybe.
Glass, water and rocks, swimming people, generally doesn't.
It's a territory, right, Robert? It's
but you can still slam cans down to your heart's content, smash them up against your skull.
I reckon they should have included a 48-metre springboard at the top of the cliffs for these Bogans in footy shorts with their Southern Cross tattoos to do their patented reverse backflip sueys, which they love. If you've got any thoughts, Fishos, you know the text number.
Into a pile of floating, empty
glass.
Aluminium cans
man,
to break the fall.
A man who broke into a Darwin pub has handed himself in to police after recognising... After recognising... Yeah, he sobered up and recognised his own bum crack in CCTV footage.
They got me.
Yeah.
But they're going to put me in a lineup. I won't survive.
It was a much bigger ass than yours, Rob.
Can you imagine the lineup? It was number three.
That hairy one. He must have spent a lot of time looking at his own bum.
Did he have a distinctive crack?
Like, no.
Like a hairy mole produced from the cleavage at the top of the crack?
I'm not making this up either. This actually happened. This is my point. He must have known exactly what his bum looks like, his bum crack looks like, because he's seen the CCTV footage. It was published in the paper and that. He's sobered up and he goes, good Lord, that is my bum. I better go to the cop shop, which he did. Good on him. I imagine he'll go to court and whatever, and they'll sort it out. And this is terrific and the only real serious fishing
what
news...
What do you have to... Oh, sorry, we've got to... must return.
I knew you'd come back to it.
When we go to court, do we have to do the business?
Yes, he...
Like, so, here's, Your Honour, I present to you Exhibit 1, the photo of the offending
said,
bum crack.
Said ass.
Could the defendant please drop his decks, show us the crack?
Criminal lawyers are treating it as the precedent in the territory courts of the first man to legitimately moon a magistrate.
Crack profiling. Criminals don't stand a chance.
Exhibit 8.
You need a balaclava for your ringing.
I was quite confident that would titillate you, that story, Robin, that it's done. Now, so for some serious fishy news. This is terrific news. To ease the congestion out at Lee Point, particularly on Rick Mills and Bottle Washer Reef, I spoke to Steve Matthews from Fisheries earlier this week.
600 6-metre by 1-metre concrete culverts donated to Northern Territory Fisheries and the government by ERA. As you can imagine, 600 culverts will create quite a big footprint on the seabed. What we plan to do with them is to deploy 300 of the culverts around the Rick Mills site and then further 300 culverts surrounding the Bottle Washer. There'll be a vessel out there over the coming neaps, and we obviously ask fishers to just stay away from that area. There'll be a bit of an exclusion zone around it, and obviously fish one of the nearby sites like the Tipper Reef or the Chad Clancy one, any of the others sort of in the area. Over the next lot of neaps, there'll be more culverts going down, as I say, at the Bottle Washer. So if anyone goes out there chasing mackies or anything, tuna in the next few weeks, then they just need to be conscious of the fact that that workboat's doing a great job for our future recreational fishing in the area, and, you know, don't go buzzing around it. Try and stay away. Not necessarily worthwhile fishing for, you know, at least a few weeks. There will be some transient fish that come and check them out, no doubt. It's probably best to wait 3 to 6 months before we fish them too hard, I'd say. That way there'll be a bit of growth on them, and essentially all that'll attract bait fish, and then the bigger predators will come to that and they'll start residing on them.
And Steve, what's your poison? How much beer to give us the GPS marks now? What's your name your price, Steve.
I'd like to have the ability to do that. I mean, I don't need to give anyone these GPS points. Pretty much everyone knows where the Rick Mills is and the Bottle Washer.
Do a circle around them and you'll find the culvert.
Basically,
okay.
they'll be within sort of, you know, a few casting distances from the central point.
Steve Matthews from Fisheries with some very good news some people in like smallish boats to get some snapper fields.
And Rob Scoop wouldn't let him get away with that. I've got the GPS mark.
Excellent.
You ready, Fisho's? Got your pens ready? I'm only going to read it once. Are you ready? 1218.406 south, 13048.879 east.
And I'm assuming we'll put that up on the website.
Well, look, to be honest, that's the central point.
Yep.
And around that...
And it's a diamond formation,
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, that's the central point. So that may well actually be the mark for the existing Rick Mills, and I've told you nothing. But
it sounds like we're giving out golden information.
Sounded good.
Perception is everything, Steve, as long as the people believe that we're giving them gold.
In a diamond shape around that central point, they'll drop these reefs and these culverts. And the really good thing is... that will create, they're hoping, because they're going to build them up from the bottom.
A honeycomb.
Yeah, that it'll create a habitat, unlike the other wrecks which just aggregate fish. This will create a habitat for them to stay and to breed. But also it'll allow you to troll for pelagics, because they're hoping to build them far enough up off the bottom to attract mackerels and so on. Yeah. And so it'll be a terrific trolling pattern.
Some fantastic work with that. And as you said, the Triple F mob putting wrecks down around the place.
It's going to be terrific.
Good business.
There is a closure there from, as you just heard, from Tuesday onwards for this set of neeps, and then the next set of neeps. Just stay out of the way. They're doing a good thing for us. So do the right thing. And the other thing fisheries wanted me to mention, Rob, is just beware of barotrauma out there. We now know that reef species caught in over 10 metres of water don't survive on, or are very, very unlikely to survive upon release. A lot of these structures will be dropped in 10 metres or more. But info on that on the Tinny website or via fisheries. That, my friend, is Fishy News.
Now, Fadge has entered the studio. What have you got for us, fella?
Now,
you've been down the daily during the week.
Yeah, I have been down the daily. But, Rob, I heard you talking to the weather, and they said it's 8.7 degrees down there. And you said to them, that's not too bad, while you're sitting in the studio in your pink flannelette, which is a direct indication of low testosterone.
You're going to get Alzheimer's.
That's exactly right.
Thanks for highlighting
that. I'd say that's
that.
Inevitable.
Fishos, Rob is wearing a flanny which says testosterone and then completely undermining it.
Juxtaposition.
Well, look at the various shades of pink
it's
in that.
It's not pink. It's there red are, and it's red and grey tartan.
There are four shades of pink in that bloody flanny. No wonder you've already got Alzheimer's.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah, that's why. We know why he's got it, because he's got low testosterone.
Where am I? Why am I here? I was actually speaking on behalf of Alice Springsians, who would find 8.7 not that challenging.
I couldn't do it.
Nah.
That's not... It is, yeah. It's just... Mitchell Street Report, there's a few more species coming to the local haunts.
Good.
With the new dry season. And this morning, had a bit of a troll, but they were too well fed. There's a lot of bait coming out of the runoffs with Souvlaki, Euros, that sort of thing, so...
Lujanus short-skirtius have really moved in through the dry season.
But, yeah, a lot of new species, which is good to see. Really healthy, too. Miriam emailed me during the week, and she did her first trip to Shady Camp. I emailed back. She didn't get back to me. I really wanted to know how she went. So if she, for some unbeknown reason, is listening...
Miriam, for those who didn't hear, we followed her progress. She went to Barra School, recently moved to the Territory, and went to Barra School, spent a few weeks there, and this was her first unaided trip, since going to school?
Yep. So to the Mecca. This is, you know, what every Barra fisherman needs to do. And so if you're out there, Miriam, text or call in, let us know how you went. And another thing, which is a really important issue, it's really emotional for me, I was at my desk during the week, and I just really started losing faith in humanity, Tim, with this whole planking thing. I can't get my head around it, and... You know, it's really burring me up. So I put a poll on Facebook. I said, what's your opinion of planking? We had a couple of options. First one is WTF is planking. I'd rather be fishing. I also said stomping, what you do when you see a planker.
Hear, hear. One vote from me.
Yeah, one vote from me. And we also got a couple of options that people said themselves. Plankers is rhyming slang. That was pretty popular. But the good thing was, Tim, I think... At least 60%, probably 75%.
70% of people were for what the F is planking, I'd rather be fishing.
It is some strange anomaly, is it not?
See, I thought Mario, being a young Gen Y hip punk up with all the Facebook trends, would be well into planking and planking in the office here. You know,
Tim,
just busting a plank right now.
I plank, so do you, so does Rob. We all plank for 8 hours every night. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And I had an interesting conversation with a mate who lives in Townsville, David Derham, and he is all over the news over there because he's been stupidly planking. And he said to me, is it big up here? And I said, oh, too big. If anyone's doing it, it's too big. And he said,
You know what? You know what would be a good plank? And this is the only plank that I would respect is if someone planked a crocodile. That is the only plank that I would respect that... if they planked a crocodile.
Do you have a disclaimer available, Robert?
The views and opinions expressed herein by the presenters of the Tales from the Tinny program should not be taken to constitute professional advice, formal recommendation, or anything more substantive than the ill-considered utterances of idiots.
Tales from the Tinny.
You may now consider yourself disclaimed.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
Okay, you're disclaimed, but if you planked a crocodile, that would be awesome.
That would rock.
That would be amazing. Can you play it again now? The final word on the planking, there was one bloke who made up his own version of the poll. He said on Facebook, I engage in planking and openly love it. Now, can you please click on that one for me, Robin? Let's name this dude. The only person in the Territory who happily admits to planking.
He might not be in the Territory.
Dal Gregory. Who the hell are you, Dal?
You, my friend.
What? What are you all about? 5 minutes, 5 minutes to six on the Tinny.
All right, I've only got one fishing report. It's quality, not quantity. A mate of mine told me that a charter crew went down to the Moyle Bar and Bluewater trip, and they got 11 meteries, including one lady getting 224 centimetre fish in as many days, in consecutive days. There you go, that's it.
The Moyle is really popular, and that's why the pressure's... There's not the same amount of pressure there. It's a big commitment, but, gee, you can get some fish. 11 metres.
11 metres, and one lady got not just one, 224 centimetre barrel.
Over what set of tides, Maria, do you know? Last week?
Don't know.
Last weekend?
I'm not sure.
Fishos, you can join in too. Some more serious actual fish news after 6 o'clock this morning. John Sykes is joining us to talk all things billfish, and he knows his stuff, so if you've always wondered or you want to start having a look at them, you can do it cheaply and pretty easily if you want to get into billfishing. We'll find out how. You don't need to go stupid with all the gear, but 0487991057 is the text, and 1300 mullet is the number if you want to call through or text through a question for John or a report. We'll take you back down the Billabongs and the big rivers as well, so stay tuned to the Tinny.
1, 2, 3, baby, sing your heart out, or you'll never know what it's like to be me.
Sing your heart out from those boys, the Sleeveheads, from over Nullanboy High School way, coming up towards the news.
We didn't want to go on and on about planking because we think it's totally ridiculous and annoying, but we've looked up this one guy on our Facebook site who says he planks and he openly loves it, Dal Gregory. Look at the photo of this guy, Rob. Can you describe him?
Rambo-esque, curly wig, aviator, mirror sunglasses, and submachine gun.
Dog tags, camo top, and submachine gun. Dal, if you really are an open planker, 0487 991057, text us a pic to prove that you plank, preferably a pic of you planking a crocodile.
We'll be back shortly. Unless you're in the centre there, you're heading off to breakfast with Yoff. It's news time now, 6 o'clock.
Fishos, a strange and special breed who willingly expose themselves to baking sun, drenching rain, withering winds, and incessant assault by flying insect, all in an attempt to outwit a foe with a brain the size of a pea. There are a million yarns in the angling anthology, stories of victory and defeat, outlandish exaggeration and outrageous lies, tales of guile, cunning and gross stupidity. Tales from the Tinny.
As we back down the ramp, launching to our destiny on the deep blue or the murky estuary. Crustacean cages stacked high on the bow.
Oh, he's on a run now. How long's this going to go?
I'll stop now.
It's 6 past 6.
And you weren't ready for that, were you?
Here on the Tinny with Tim.
Got to keep them jumping. Got to keep them jumping.
With Tim and Rob this morning. Good morning, fishos, if you're just waking. 1300 mullets, our number. 1300-685-538 if you want to join in or got a reporter. It's actually surprisingly valuable if you're just heading out onto the water to give us some weather reports if you're just at the boat ramp. So if you can be bothered.
Lick the finger.
Yep.
Stick it in the air.
Yep. Let us know what you're targeting and where you're heading, or you can just do it via text 0487 991 0057. Still waiting for that pic of Dale Gregory planking a crocodile, which we hope is going to happen. You can send pictures and videos through on this new text number, 0487 991 0057. The weather's looking better than it was last weekend, and probably good enough for the blue water this weekend if you're happy enough to fish small windows on these big tides.
Certainly the numbers from the Bureau didn't look too bad.
Easterly winds 10 to 15 knots before an afternoon northerly sea breeze of 10. More details from the Bureau at 5:30 this morning. And to the tides, Robert, 7.2 metre high at 9 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
They are big.
Yep.
Dropping to 2.5 at about 3 o'clock, the Savo.
And heading towards the Neeps as it progresses. I might query that hard. As I was driving down past the duck pond yesterday, which is always an indicator, if you can see white caps down in that part of the paddock, then generally it's going to be pretty unattractive. Now, yesterday afternoon, the Bureau was saying 10 knots, seas less than a metre. I would debate that call from yesterday afternoon. So that's just a small proviso on... what might be a window to the blue, or may well not.
Paul from Humpty Doo's texted on 0487 991 0057. Don't lie, boys. We've all had a good plank. Speak for yourself. I don't know if he misspelt that. Rob's testosterone levels too, Fishos, have noticeably decreased in the last 5 minutes. Or noticeably increased, sorry, since he's removed his...
I've butched up!
His pink flannelette. Don't know where you stand. You're still...
swinging in the breeze, mate.
Yeah. The sexuality is still out for debate, isn't it, Robert?
I'm all man. Don't worry about that. I'm all man.
You can change a tyre in your middle age.
Oh, can I ever.
Here are some things to look forward to, Fishos. Some really good harbour reports from Keith Watson and Ashley Winks, who on Wednesday got 15 barra and 15 species in the harbour. How a 12-volt pie warmer can help you on your tinny throughout the dry season. How a metery turns a group of otherwise quite... well-behaved women into a group of absolute potty mouths on the Finnis, and how to catch billfish during the dry season. John Sykes will join us a little later this morning and be happy to take your calls and questions. We'll start from the beginning and maybe try to work out how, as an amateur with not much money, we can raise a glory billfish this dry season. So 0487 991 0057 to text, or 1300 Mullet if you want to plug a call in. We'll meet John shortly.
It's an absolutely jam-packed morning on Tales from the Tinny, 6:09.
Yeah, g'day, I'm Keith Watson from Darwin.
You had a good trip in the harbour.
Yeah, during the week I snuck out in the harbour. I think it was the day after the full moon, and normally around the full moon produces some good fish, and this time it didn't let itself down. It produced a lot of fish, lots of numbers, and I was suitably impressed.
So let's start from scratch. Which direction did you head?
In the harbour. No secrets. I just went across the middle arm in around Channel Island itself. There's some really nice drains there, some rock bars and stuff, and they were all holding fish everywhere I went.
So just after the moon, so what, 7 down to 2 or something like that?
Yeah, it was 2.29 low at lunchtime, and I was a little bit worried about what the wind situation would be, but there was a low down in the bite, and I thought, well, she's going to be special, and it was. It was flat all the way around there, and flat all the way home. I think most breezes probably about 5. The water clarity, though, was super impressive. It was crystal clear, which made it hard. So I had to just work the fringes of dirty water around the drains, and that's where you'd pull the fish out of drains, but the rest you could sight cast along the flat.
So what sort of numbers and what sort of sizes?
I boated 15 to 67 centimetres. I got a few 65, 64, 62s, a lot of 61s, and a 58. And then there was the smaller fish were all sitting at 48 or 51 centimetres.
Right.
So it was quite a few rats. I think I dropped half a dozen, which were rats to good fish, and would have seen easily 40 to 50 fish cruising around.
That's fantastic for the harbour, isn't it?
It was magnificent, and the water temp was down to 26 degrees. And
which you'd think might slow them up, but obviously didn't.
No, it didn't slow them up at all. They fed from, I was out there 2.5 hours before the low, and I started catching them from just gone 2 hours before the low into 1.5 hours after the push-in. And only reason I left them because I had to go and pick my daughter up from daycare. So I left them chewing. It was good.
Oh, fantastic. So where did you get the majority of the fish?
The colour changes in around the snake drain. So just finding the snake drains and getting the soft plastics right down into the snake drains and just slowly moving them through the snake drains. And the other ones were just actually sight casting the fish way out in front and slowly moving it past its nose, and they couldn't resist.
All with plastics?
All with plastics, yep.
Didn't throw a hard body around at all?
I had one tied onto the spare rod, but there was no need.
Well, if you're getting hit, you don't bother changing, do you?
That's right. Exactly right. You know, if it works, don't change. Try and find something else that works. And all the fish that came in, they were all coughing up lots of prawns, and the prawns were of good size. They weren't small prawns either. So any prawn imitation at the moment of a half-decent size will probably get your fish.
So size of your small finger or thereabouts?
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, finger to some of the big prawns were like, you know, point and index finger. So. And not just the prawns, it was the mullet too. They were still buffing some mullet. And the other thing was some metre-plus queenies cruising around in packs up on the flats, right up on the flats in the drains themselves, causing a path of destruction everywhere they went.
Did you latch on to any of those?
No. The little 15-pound braid on a 5-kilo spin stick, I appreciate my braid.
You're a sporting chap, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I'm one-eyed, mate. It's barramundi or it's no fishing.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, or barra Jackson salmon, you know, that's the limit.
Did you see any jacks? We're hearing there is some jacks around as well.
I went chasing jacks on the incoming tide, and first cast I got a pan-sized goldie. Third cast I got a blue salmon, but no jacks showed their head. Yeah, I don't think it was a good tide for them. I normally pick up the jacks around the first quarter of the moon, not on the full.
And also, you've been on a trip recently where a boating innovation was launched. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Mate, I can. It's better than sliced cheese, sliced bread, and a cold can of you-know-what. It's a pie warmer, a plug-in mini oven designed pretty much for cooking pies. 9-volt to 36-volt, and I tell you what, it takes a couple of maggot bags at midnight when it's probably about 15, 16 degrees on a cold inland river, a maggot bag and some sauce, you can't beat it.
Absolutely. So she plugs into the cigarette lighter.
Yep, straight into the cigarette lighter or some sort of 12-volt connector in the boat, and takes about 25 minutes from a thawed pie straight in the oven. Comes out crispy, hot. It's beautiful.
This is an innovation. So what size of a shoebox or something like that?
Pretty much, yeah. Not much bigger than a shoebox. And we put two pies in and a sausage roll and 25 minutes.
So a varied diet as well.
A varied diet, yep. And I'll tell you what, it's endless. We were sitting there while eating those pies. We're just going, what next? Soup, stroganoff. You know, you could reheat lasagna in there. Oh, it's endless. The koala, you know, he's a genius. Oh. He's a genius coming up with that. Or he got tipped off about it, and when he told me about it, I said, it's got to be done. And he went straight out, purchased one, and we put it straight into practice.
Oh, I think they'll be flying off the shelves around the top end as we speak.
I'll tell you what, once I get back from this next trip, I'm going out to purchase one myself.
The pie warmer.
The
genius.
The pie warmer.
Tales from the Tinny on ABC local radio across the territory.
I want to reiterate their absolute genius, the pie warmer.
Koala now has shares in the company. He says since he's bought this this pie warmer,
yep,
this 12-volt pie warmer, it is going off.
He should be getting a distribution bonus.
Well, he's actually got it on a adjustment in Dave Gardner's boat on the Flywater Comp in Corroboree this very weekend.
Now, what's Dave's boat? Do we know what Dave's boat is?
No, the prostitute, probably.
Yeah. No, but if you're out on Corroboree and you smell a bit of, that smells like hot pastry.
Dave Gardner is...
Go and hit him up and tell him Tim and Rob said that you could have a pie.
12.
That Dave Gardner would be delighted to provide you a pie or possibly an asparagus vol-au-vent.
It is just genius. John Sykes is a very keen bill fisherman across the top end, and it's probably time we started talking about billfish because around the dry season, over the Neeps particularly, is when people start thinking about it. But still an emerging fishery for billfish across the top end. How are you, John?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Would you agree we're still learning, we're still very much learning as top end fishos about this fishery and what it has to offer?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first started up here, finding out any information at all was very difficult.
Mm.
Some local boys set me in the right direction in terms of the local billfishing scene, and we went from there. So from the very first trip out, we raised a fish, very first trip that we'd done in the territory, and hooked and lost, and that set the scene.
And you were hooked and lost.
Yeah, absolutely. set the scene forever.
I think that one of the greatest realisations, well, for me personally anyway, and I think that has driven this over the last couple of years, is the realisation that you don't need a 40-foot, you know, diesel cruiser with a flybridge and stuff. Some of the bigger end of the standard sort of boat that's hitting the outside reefs will do the job for you.
Look, absolutely, Rob. I fish out of a 6 metre tinny. By no means a gin palace. It's bare hull. Done all the custom work for the console and everything myself. So on an absolute shoestring. And in terms of gear, look, anything that's sort of verging on a little bit too heavy for tuna up here will do the job.
Yeah, we will get in more detail to how you've customised your rig, though, because it's pretty impressive the work you've been doing as you've started to target bigger and bigger fish and start to target them more. The question we ask often is, has this fishery always been here and we haven't been targeting it, or are they just moving in more numbers and the habitat's healthy?
Look, I think they may have always been here, but it's been on prevalence of bait, especially in Fog Bay. Now, I'm led to believe that Fog Bay used to be overrun with prawn trawlers once upon a time. Am I correct in this? Would you know?
Or? Yeah, I don't know for sure, but wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I've heard. And these days, you're lucky to see one or two out there. So therefore, the bycatch, which is the bait, you know, herring, sardines, all that sort of thing.
The lollies.
Yeah, all the billfish lollies are now there. So perhaps the fish have always been there, but now they're coming into the, you know, into the shallower water in the bay.
Now, and Fog Bay, there have been some phenomenal reports there in the last couple of years of the numbers, primarily juveniles. We've heard reports, I think it was last year, Rob, of people getting them on chrome slices and chunks of tuna.
And Nils
and
Masters.
And Nils Masters. So it is, I mean, maybe that's a fluke, But they often say they're around in such numbers, you see them, and you can target them with non-traditional billfish gear.
Look, absolutely. The thing about billfish is that a lot of people sort of overlook is unless you're looking for them, you don't see them. Because you're focused on other things, the numbers have actually got to be pretty high for you to see them if you're not looking for them. So, i.e., you're casting chromies for tuna on
And you just happen to see.
Schools. Yep.
Well, in that case, the numbers must have been very high because a lot of these reports were, yeah, we were looking around for tuna, we saw some schools of bait, we moved over, and there's two bloody sailfish sunning themselves right at the top of the water column.
Absolutely. Yeah. The first sail I got in the territory was sitting on a tuna school. We hadn't done very well for the morning. We hadn't raised a fish. Decided, okay, let's blow the cobwebs out, get some fish out of the way. Got on a school long tail. Sure enough, on the leading edge of the school, there's two sails just cruising.
So that's how to find them through luck. John will stay with us right through until 7, and we might talk about how to find them through targeting them and how to find the bigger ones through targeting them.
That are just randomly falling over them.
And the proper way to target them rather than just lobbing a chunk of tuna at them and happen to hook up like happened to some mad blokes last year. They got the fright of their life when he hooked up, I tell you.
20 past 6, Tales from the Tinny. Tim and Rob holding the studio. Billy's is the talking topic of the morning. Here's a Bobby with a reworking of a classic from early on. You Go Your Way. 20 past 6. A Mark Ronson reworking of the Bob Dylan, well, it's still him. The original came out in about 66. That was remixed, reworked in 08. Tales from the Tinny, 24 past 6.
I want you to listen to something, Rob. I got this email, fishing@your.abc.net.au this week. It was a report from Megs, who fished the Real Women's Classic on the Finnis last weekend. She talks about her team here. The email reads, Smeds was snagged and Bandy was winding in and she was chatting away and said, oh shit, I'm snagged too. As the skipper brought the boat closer to Smeds' snag, Bandy says,
my snag's moving.
Hang on a minute. I'm on, but it's only little, don't stress. Then she jumped out of the water. Holy shit, Batman.
Jesus! Oh,
Jesus,
man!
Christ!
Oh, good. Now I just threw him in the net. Holy shit, I can't even hold my rod in my hand.
Tales from the Tinny.
God, look at how fat
the f***ing is. It's only little, Bandy. It's only little.
Oh, man.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
You all right?
There you have it. They're normally quite civil, those women, and they turned into foul...
They did go to finishing... All of them went to a finishing school, elocution classes.
And it all went to shit.
It all turned to shit.
When they got onto the meadery. Well done to the team, and well done to Bandy, who that was the biggest... I think it went 102. It weighed about 22 to 25 kilos.
And yeah, it was another one. We just keep saying it. Around the shoulders, it was a bulldog.
That video is on Facebook, and that's a great example of the fatness that everyone's talking about with the Barra this season. You can have a look for yourself. It was released safely. That was the biggest fish of the comp. Doesn't matter to Tash Rammers, though. Tash, you might know from the tinny. She was skipper of the winning team overall and champion angler. Congratulations, Tash. What a thrill.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm still on a massive high. I'm wondering when I'm going to come down.
I bet you are. You probably never will, Tash, because we talked to a fair few of the ladies out there fishing on the day before and then on the morning of the comp, and they were all talking about you. They all said... She's uncatchable after day one. You'd creamed everyone, apparently. It must have been a good start on day one, Tash.
Oh, my God. It was just an amazing day fishing on that Friday. We were ready to crack a bottle of champagne. It didn't matter if we caught a fish on Saturday. It was just like a dream day, like you just couldn't imagine. Yeah, so we decided to do the four-wheel drive track, and I heard last week a lot of the women thought we might have had a bit of an advantage because we were getting on the water a bit early.
Yeah, just to explain, while they were lining up with the tractor, you showed some genuine territory initiative and towed the boat down the 5 mile beach to launch at the mouth, yeah?
Yeah, we did that, and I can tell you what, that track's a lot softer than what I remembered last year.
Well, what happened?
The second day, I wouldn't call it bogged. We just lost our momentum, and it took us about half an hour of shoveling to get it.
That's bogged.
Your progress was slightly challenged.
Slightly challenged, but it was nothing we couldn't handle. But everything that was a little bit nerve-wracking that we did, we could not even think about it without doing a nervous pee first.
Nervous pee, get bogged, move on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you got through it, and you obviously got on the water in time. Just talk us through the fish you got and what the tides were doing, the time of day, and how you got them, Tash.
Yeah, no problems. Look, the first day we worked the low down on the mouth, and we worked that pretty hard and got nothing. So I moved. I had like laminated plans of what time the tide was doing and where I needed to be at what time. And tell you what, the next trawl, I got an 81 centimetre barra, and that was it. The plan was out the window.
The laminator, bugger the laminations.
We got that one at about 9:30, so that was our first fish, and then I got another 81, and then there was another two in the boat, and then there was another two, and then the whole aim of the trip was to get Ella onto a legal barra, my deckie, and because she caught one.
Hang on, you took someone who'd never caught a barramundi in this comp.
Yeah, we were out for a good time, hey. We had plenty of refreshments, and she had all this new fishing gear, and she was so keen just to get her legal barra. And before I finish up the wrap-up of what we did, I've got to talk about what she did the first day. It was amazing. She got her legal barra. You should have seen the massive grin on her face. And we got 10 fish by lunchtime, so we were pretty relaxed by this. So we were trawling up above the rock bar on some snags. And Ella looked at me and said, oh, sorry, Tash, I'm snagged again. And I looked at her line, and it was slowly moving into the middle. I'm like, no, you're not. So we shifted the boat out to the middle, and suddenly the fish just ran. And I just looked at Ella and said, I think you've got a jewfish. She just looked at me and I said, oh, you know, I told you about lifting rod tip, wind down, lifting rod tip. So I was giving her a coaching lesson on how to do a big fish while she's got this big jewfish on, and I couldn't believe it when we got it in the boat. It was bigger than my brag mat. It was over 120.
Oh, what a thrill.
So you popped the cherry on barra and then got her onto a jewfish on a barra reef.
She must think you're a god, Tash. Well, you are a god.
Her day wasn't over yet. Last trawl of the day, 91 centimetre barra.
For who?
For this,
Ella.
The new decking.
For her.
Man.
So she went legal, massive jewfish, 91 centimetre barra.
Have you know what you deserve from her? You need to ask her for a 12 volt pie warmer for your boat. That's the least she can do, Tash.
Oh, she just had an amazing day. And look, I had an amazing day too. I got six fish between 80 and 84. We got 16 fish altogether. We actually forgot to write a couple on our score sheet because it was just going that off, like just back and forth. And I have to confess, I did the unthinkable, and even one of the fish that I got, I took my hand off it for a moment and flipped overboard. So before we even got to measure off.
Oh, didn't matter.
Didn't care. So tossed it over your left shoulder. See, we don't need that one.
Tash, we are running short on time, unfortunately. But what was it about? Because you did just as well, or at least well enough on the second day to take it out quite convincingly. What was it about what you were doing, though, that saw you do so well? In because a lot of boats hooked a lot and dropped a lot, and other, you know, a fair few other crews didn't even get that many, Tash. So what were you doing different?
Okay, what we did, we found where the fish were holding, and we had to get our trawl line spot on and have the lure at the right depth. So it wasn't just one lure that was cleaning up, it was different depths as the tide rise and fell. So we just had to make sure it was right on the right spot and hitting off that bottom, just constantly trying not to get snagged and, trawling it, scraping it through the snags and everything. So, yeah, we just found where they were and fortunately got in the right spot. And, yeah, I think it might have been my little tinny with a tiller steer helped a bit just hugging that bank.
Fantastic, Tash. Congratulations to you and Ella, mate. We'll catch you again soon.
Thank you.
Well done, buddy.
See you later.
Tash Rammers, and you can still hear the delight in her voice. What a fantastic effort, and what a joy to put a mate who's never caught a barra onto, first of all, first legal barra, then a dewey, then a 91-centimetre.
That's awesome stuff.
Skipper of the winning team and champion angler of the 2011 Real Women's Barra Classic on the finish.
28-7, tails from the tinny.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
Mark Kersimakis.
Hey, Rob.
Sounds like you're walking the beach there, mate.
All that running water is making me want to go to the toilet.
No, nervous wee for you as well. Now, I've got to admit to, I cast aspersions, I cast doubts on your work earlier on in the hour. I don't know if you heard. Forecast for yesterday said northeasterlies to 10 knots, seas to less than a metre. Yesterday afternoon, as I was driving past the duck pond, there was white caps in at Sadgrove's.
He's suggesting that during the dry season, you don't even look at your computer screen. You just make it up because it's the same every time.
So what time was this, Rob?
About lunchtime. Lunchtime.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, the afternoon, I guess, starts.
That is, I was thinking afternoon. I bow to the greater wisdom that was not really afternoon, was it? If
well,
we're going past at lunchtime.
Yeah, it's on midday. What's been happening is the winds have been picking up for that, mid-morning, say 9, 10 o'clock. They're a little bit fresher through to about midday, 1 o'clock, and then they ease off fairly significantly.
Retract is the word I'm looking for. My criticisms. Carry on, Mark.
Just quickly, Mark, when are we expecting, what sort of winds are we expecting today and tomorrow, and when will they ease? Same pattern?
Yes, okay. Actually a little bit lighter than what we have been getting, even today. We're only going for 10 to 15 knots on the harbour. That 15 knots is for that period, as I said, mid-morning to very early in the afternoon. And then we're getting sea breezes from around the middle of the afternoon or so. So pretty good conditions today and tomorrow and Monday as well, locally, that is. Over coastal waters, still quite good, comparing to what it was, say, last weekend. We still got 15 to 20 knots running off the north and east coast, and perhaps just a tad stronger for a period this morning, well offshore. Here on the western side of the top end, we're expecting winds up to around 15 knots or so again.
Okay, but then easing.
Easing during the early afternoon with sea breezes coming in. So that's the best period to get out there, I guess.
Excellent, mate. Through lunchtime and into the afternoon and early evening. Cheers, Mark. Got to fly.
No worries.
Have a great weekend. Mark Kersimakis, duty forecaster at the Bureau, 25-7 on Tails from the Tinny. Tim and Rob with you this morning. And John Sykes, who's joined us in the studio to talk billfish. John, we were talking earlier about that first trip you did where you saw that billfish because you were fishing for tuna. But you only got him because you were actually prepared, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that they can pop up anywhere, anytime. Mm. So having a good quality spin outfit with a rigged garfish ready to go, just sitting either wedged in the side of your esky or in a bucket of water, is absolutely golden.
Rigged garfish, do you use ganged hooks with one floating or through the gar or different setup?
Yeah, absolutely different setup. We use circle hooks, particularly snelled for better hookup ratios, and they're rigged with rigging floss, which is effectively a little like dental floss. You could use dental floss if you wish to.
Over the nose of the gar?
Absolutely, yep. So what we do is we run 3 quick wraps through the eye socket of the garfish.
Yep.
Bait needle with both tag ends through opposing sides of the beak, top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut a short length of Lumo tube that's big enough to fit over the beak.
Mm-hmm.
And slide that down over the beak and a couple of half hitches onto a circle hook. And that's the rig.
Just a single circle hook?
Just a single circle hook.
Is that for presentation purposes?
No, it's more for hookup purposes. Now, with billfish, they've got notoriously hard mouths, very hard to hook. The hookup ratio on lures, for example, can be as bad as 1 in 7 if you're unlucky. So with circle hooks, what the aim of the game is that you get the fish to swallow the bait, slow count to 5, drag up, you don't strike, and then the idea being the circle hook slides into the corner of the mouth for a perfect hook set.
You just painted a beautiful image there. Yeah. I just had myself waiting for 5 seconds and trying to resist the urge to strike.
he was lining up for a chop.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look,
patience.
It's one of those things. If you think you've waited long enough,
wait more.
Pause again and wait again.
Because we used to get pillies and they've got a little sinker with like an octopus skirt coming off the sinker. Just jam that on his nose, wire up the nose with copper wire, thin copper wire, and a ganged hook with the end one floating. We weren't targeting billies. It was really for mackerel and big tuna off the east coast. But it, I mean, that was different country, I suppose.
Well, I'm sure.
And it's just luck to hook billfish with a rig like that, yeah?
I won't say you can't do it, because you certainly can. I mean, opposed double hook rigs are used in lures, and that's fine. But what we're looking for here is the fact that normal hooks, billfish have a bad tendency to run 100 metres, turn, and the hooks fall out of their mouth. So that's what we're after.
Now, what about finding them, John? Because if we're not just fluking it on a school of tuna and lobbing a lure at him.
What grounds are we looking? Well, we need to get ourselves in the park first. Yeah. Okay. So what grounds are we looking
GPS
for?
GPS marks are welcome. In fact, the amazing thing about the bill fishermen and bill fishery up here is how generous they are. I've seen lots of times the actual GPS marks posted because everyone really wants to share information and know the fishery. Amazingly generous.
Excuse me. Absolutely. I mean, the thing people have got to understand is billfish are extremely pelagic, i.e. they move around massive amounts after the bait. So moral of the story is find the bait, find the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to finding bait, weed lines, current lines, upwellings, set grounds, barrel wide, for example, has structure to hold bait, therefore it does hold good billfish.
What about the gutters?
The gutters. South gutter does produce fish, and I think it's because a lot of people are trolling doing from to and froing from the bottom bouncing grounds. North gutter in particular holds billfish.
Good size billfish?
Good size billfish in North Gutter. They're very good size billfish.
How do they compare to the ones at Fog Bay? The ones at Fog Bay generally smaller?
I can't really say that because I actually hooked and played 100 kilo fish last year out of Fog Bay.
At Fog Bay.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
So what sort of length are you looking at in 100 kilo fish? 5 foot or 6 foot?
It's really hard to tell. Two plus metres.
Yeah. Now, when you were saying chasing those bait at upwelling, so like at South Gutter, are you working the edges? Is that predominantly where you're going to find those up currents?
Absolutely.
Balling the bait up to the surface?
Look, when it comes to billfish, a GPS is invaluable with maps. And if you can find contour lines on the maps that look like cul-de-sacs, they'll most likely be an upwelling of some description in there.
Hmm.
Tides.
Neeps.
Yeah. Neeper the better. Clearer
as you can get.
Clearer the better?
After the dead neep, 2 days before the new or full moon. there you go, there's the good oil.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
And does it matter how flat it is?
No, it doesn't. I like a little bit of ripple, but it's a lot easier to see the billfish if it's flat.
Yeah, is that, everybody says, you know, mirror, glass, perfect. Now, is that just because of the visibility, or do the fish actually go off the bite a little bit, or go a bit deeper maybe when there's a bit of surface chop?
I think you may be right there. Look, when it's calm, they can find the bait.
Yeah.
They're very visual predators. They'll chase bait down from a long distance.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Neep, neep, and neep. John Sykes is with us right through until 7 to talk billfish on Tales from the Tinny. It's about 19 minutes to 7. Peter Lasowski's on the water at Corroboree, just about to throw a line in. I think been there for a whole week or so. How are you this morning, Peter?
Yeah, good, thanks, Tim. Yourself?
Hey, good, mate. Are you wet a line yet?
Just about 3 seconds ago the first one went in. The wife's just thrown the first one in. So
whereabouts exactly are you, Peter?
We're in the rock hole, say that.
Oh, you got coverage there. That's good to know.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
And sounds very strong too. So you've been there for a while, mate.
Yeah, been here all week. And to be honest, we struggled a fair bit. We, you know, we picked up a few fish, but and then yesterday I got a little bit of a tip from your producer there, Mario.
Oh, you did you, Peter?
He needs, I think he needs a Purple Heart or a VC, mate. That's all I can say.
Don't talk him up, please, mate.
Mate, we cleaned up yesterday afternoon. 20 fish we ended up with for the afternoon, and up to 89, and all but two of them were silver.
20 up to 89 centimetres, and mostly good colour, good condition.
Oh yeah, they were just magnificent fish, beautiful fish.
What was it that Mario told you to put you onto this purple patch, this honey pot?
I just give us a bit of a hint on the current. Just look for a bit of current and
the moving water.
Yeah, but saying that, we did fish the same spot earlier in the week and had no success at all, and then just came back here and we tried a few soft plastics. Nothing happened, so then we put on the little hard bodies, just run a Lucifer's, and away we went.
Mm. So mostly shallow water was the with the hard bodies was what helped in this session?
Yeah, pretty much. We've been electric, so we're just cruising along with the electric, running a short line out the back. With little lucifers so they don't go down too deep, and just along the edge of the weed, just ripping through the weed, and they're smashing us.
Mm, fantastic.
Which is good news, mate, and good condition, good colour.
Oh, beautiful fish, just beautiful silver fish, yeah.
Now, you haven't smelt the wafting across the waterways out there, the smell of a nice, fresh baking pie, have you?
No, why's that?
Oh, one of the fly fishermen out there, Dave Gardner, if you can find him, he'll be happy. He rang us up and told us he'd be happy to supply anyone who came up to him. He's got a 12-volt pie warmer on the boat. Be nice and chilly out there. Nothing to go down better than a warm pie out there this morning, I'd imagine.
We believe he's got steak and kidneys and sausage rolls and pasties
and
on offer.
And asparagus vol-au-vents.
And asparagus vol-au-vents. Peter, terrific to hear you've hit the honeypot. Let us hope on your behalf that you hit it again hard this morning, mate. Thanks for calling in.
No worries. Thanks for your time, fellas, and keep up the good work. Brilliant show.
Good on you, mate. Peter Lasowski, who's on the water at Corroboree, just in the rock hole, hoping to hit it hard again as we speak. If you're doing the same, flick us through a text or give us a bell on 1300 Mullet. Get it's from the
Yes, Fadge called it, and it just seems to continue. Could be a very, very good year. I've got visitors coming into town tomorrow with family, so I think that'll be definitely on the cards for me midweek, a little trip out. So, John, if you could knock me up some scones. Dave Gardner will be gone. The pies will be gone by then, so maybe John might be able to impose for a scone or two.
16 to 7 on the tinny. John, the other thing we wanted to talk
Not
about...
Not you, John. Yeah, sorry. You don't have
John
to make new scones.
The other thing we wanted to talk about is the strike, mate. Have you noticed any... Well, actually, before we do that, switch baiting is the actual way to catch billfish. Hmm. You better talk us through that and how, in simple terms, you've rigged up your bait.
Yeah, run it through your rig.
Mm.
Righto, switch baiting. It's all about teasers. Now, at its most basic level, if you're just starting out and you don't want to spend too much money, half a dozen beer cans, knotted on a string a foot apart, and that'll raise fish.
That's easy.
Yep, absolutely. You'll lose beer cans through wear and tear and all that sort of thing.
So you drink
whole beer cans or like stripped and coiled?
All you've got to do is get an old school can opener and cut the mouth out of the can so that it doesn't rub on the line.
Yeah.
Put a hole through the base end and it looks like the cup face of the lure. Does the same thing with hydrostatic water pressure, wiggles, shimmies, flashes. Diet Coke cans are the best ones.
That's entry level teaser.
Absolutely.
Describe your teaser rig.
I still use beer cans.
Do you?
Yeah, I still do. I went away from them for a little while because
keeping it real, brother.
They're a bit painful.
Man of the people. Man of the people.
Yes. Well, keeps me in excuse to drink beer too. Yeah. So that with four squids, soft squids behind. As I said, spaced probably a foot and a half apart.
These are plastic squids.
Yeah, plastic squids. So just nice and sort of like chewy dog toys, really.
Yep. A bit of those fluoro-y ones?
Yep, the fluoro ones are great. Pink, and more pink is the colour up here.
Hmm.
But, yeah, a bit of fluoro additives, a good thing.
And the whole aim of the teaser rig, and most people's thinking is the more teasers, the more teaser lines, the better, is to mimic a school of bait, isn't it?
Yep. Well, really, your best teaser's your boat. And then you've got, then the teasers themselves will be the trailing fish of that school. So the predators will always go after the trailing fish. So the aim of the game with switchbaiting is you've got to watch the lines all the time, which gets a bit boring if you're a solo, which I am sometimes. And so when the fish comes up, you pull the teaser away
from them. You'll see him, you'll see the colour,
absolutely.
The flash. Yep.
Now, another little hot tip, black marlin, they're not black. Brown, blue, green, all sorts of different colours of the rainbow. Most of the time, they're not black. So, just tip for young players. First black I saw out here, I thought it was a cobia.
Wow.
Yeah. So, dead brown until he lit up and then changed
colours. Yeah, I was going to say, so they change. They go across the spectrum like chameleons.
Yeah, they flash around.
You've been watching your teasers for 18 hours and then you see a flash of colour. What next?
Absolutely. So, when you've got the fish up and you know what you're looking at, if you've got time, pull the teaser away from him as you pitch a bait out. So when I say pitch a bait out, spin is best, but overheads will do. And get that garfish or rig mullet or whatever bait you're using out there and pull the teaser away. So we're switching him to the bait.
So he's only got one choice.
Bait in first, teasers out second.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the best way is to put the bait out beyond the fish, pull it past the fish's head so it comes into his line of vision. So that he hasn't seen it hit the water and then pull the teaser out of the way. So he's only got one option and you line it up with the fish and then hopefully he'll strike.
Paul Van Bruggen has given us a call. You're on the way to check the pots, Paul.
Yeah, mate. Heading back out for a look-see.
And what's the verdict? Have you been going on the crustaceans?
Not very good. I think these crabs here today have got razor blades. All my pots have been ripped to shreds when I left them there.
You've been smashed.
Yeah, that's all right. We're going to have a look today and fix them up with some cable ties and hopefully get the visitors a mud crab.
Did you say where you dropped them?
Just down Elizabeth River.
Oh, easy.
Now, you chase a sail too, PVB, don't you?
Yeah, every now and again we get out there and chase a fish with a stick on its head.
G'day, two rods.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
How's things been? I hear there's been a few fish around off Dundee.
Oh, I believe so. I've just got to get to them yet. Work's been crazy, so just one of those things we do to catch a fish, I suppose.
You heard much, Paul, on the forum, the Fish Finder forum, of billfish arriving yet? Many people targeting them yet.
Yeah, look, there have been a few people out having a bit of a gander, but I think the next set of neeps, we'll see the rush on for sure. But, I heard about a guy raising six down there on the last set of neeps off Dundee.
Good one. Mate,
didn't land any though.
Quick plan for how you're going to prepare these muddies that you're going to get today.
Well, I'm not going to be like your offside of Julia and be sad and slack with them. We'll get them, chop them in half, clean them out, steam them with a little bit of garlic and ginger in the water.
Yep.
And sit down in the yard and be like pigs and eat them.
That's right. There's no better way to eat a feed of crabs than over a bin.
If you haven't got it spread half down your shirt, you're just not trying.
That's right.
Good on you, Paul. PVB, Julia Christensen from Top End Breakfast, did create controversy across the whole Top End yesterday by proposing that mud crabs weren't worth the dirty effort.
Ugh.
Eat them over a bin. That's a bloody good tip, Rob.
Oh, it is.
Ashley Winks has fished the harbour too. How are you, Ash?
Mate, I'm good. Good morning, boys. Good morning, listeners.
You've got into a few barra, but a heap of species too.
Yeah, we were throwing around the legendary swimming mullet pattern, and we got 15 species, and among
strokes and 15 barra.
All right, well, run us through them. Run us through the top 10 anyway, or the most desirable.
Oh, one of the, I'll run you through the couple of the unusuals. I mean, we all know the normals, but we got a barracuda flicking the plastics around and a sight fished a shark. So,
and on a plastic?
Yeah, on the little 4-inch swimming mullet.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice. So on the regulars, mate, let's have a crack. We'll go barra, ready, salmon, ready, yeah. Jack?
Salmon. No, it was one of the ones we missed out on.
Oh, okay. So, goldies?
Grunter, brim, goldies, long tom, archerfish, cod. I don't have them written down. I can't,
this is a pan species just Armageddon.
Yeah, yeah, of course, the northern power tail, a catfish.
Oh, of course, of course. So where were you fishing, mate?
Just over West Arm again, just on the normal circuit.
Okay, on the flats?
We got a lot of the fish on the flats, but then we went deep into West Arm to the rocky country.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and got some goldies there?
Yeah, played around the bottom of the tide, goldies, brim, and surprised we didn't get a jack, but there was that sort of country. You know, anywhere you get banded grunter and brim, you're not far away from a jack.
Absolutely. It's promising, getting good reports from the harbour.
Yeah, it's looking really good. There's a lot of undersized fish out there, but, you know, that just means they're going to grow up and be big fish. And, yeah, I think the harbour is looking very good. It fished well last dry season, and the early indications are that it's certainly worth a crack.
Good on you, Ashley.
I wouldn't be surprised, by the way. I think it'd be pretty reliable that if you could source yourself a 12-volt pie warmer for your boat, you'd run it, wouldn't you?
Hey, you know the best pies in the Territory come from Corroboree Park, Devon, too, don't you? So you think old mate's stocking up there and whack them in the pie warmer and going straight in.
There's a little sideways plug. That was a bit cheeky. I think what the issue here is that...
Homemade. I was going to say homemade, because Keith was actually going for the pie in a plastic bag, which I'm a bit of a conscientious
objector. Well, Ashley's raised an interesting point that if Territory Fishos end up running 12-volt pie warmers on all their boats, it's going to put all the servos and taverns and roadside stops flat out of business.
Don't worry about the Bay Marie. Give me it out of the freezer.
In my chest freezer, I'll have a box of pies that I can run for 3 months. Going to the server.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to go, Ash. Good on you, man.
No worries, guys. Good luck.
Ashley Winks had a real success on the harbour this week, which is good news. 7-7 on the tinny. John, regarding billfish, then the striking, you've switch baited. You've chucked yours in. You reckon the strike is to wait, as you've explained. Be a little bit patient.
Absolutely. Now, the best thing you can get is a going away strike, which means the hook's going to go in the corner of the mouth.
You mean when he turns?
Absolutely, when he turns. Now, you won't always get that, but that's the ideal. Now, if the fish is still directly at you behind the boat, don't put your drag up until he turns, because if you do, you'll just circle hooks, because they've got to turn. If he's bills straight at you, don't flick your lever. Just wait for him. He'll turn eventually. That's
what it's all about for. Patience, isn't it?
Yeah,
that'd be absolutely the hardest thing, knowing that bait is in that big fish's gob. It goes, turn, you mongrel, turn.
What sort of line you use?
I'm using 8 or 10 kilo mono.
Wow.
Yeah. So
for the whip in it, isn't it? Is the stretch?
Absolutely. These fish have got so much speed, and the directional changes are so quick that braid has a tendency, because of the no stretch, it'll do one of three things. It'll either wear you out, wear the gear out, or it'll wear a hole in the fish's jaw where the hook is.
Oh, yeah.
So the next time he does a directional change, after that happens enough, the hook just falls out.
10 kilos seems light to me, John.
It does, but it's geared to the fish up here. I mean, look, 10 kilo is light for the bigger blacks. But for the sails up here, 10 kilos is fine.
I suppose you're not looking at... They're not going to run you around any structure.
So no, well, that's the other point.
You're talking about pure torque, basically.
Yeah, so, I mean, and there's nothing like a couple of 100 metre run out of a fish to get the heart racing. Mm. Yeah.
It's also why sometimes you can be fighting them for an hour, because you've only got 10 kilo
mono. Yeah, that's right. You've got to play them with a tender glove.
Absolutely. It starts getting a bit painful at the hour mark, yeah.
One of the other things you mentioned was how often they seem to strike from the one side.
Yeah, handedness in fish. So, you know, left and right-handed. So call it left and right-eyed. I've been looking into it. I couldn't figure out why. If you look at the back of the boat, on the right-hand side's where it's probably 80-85% of the fish end up taking from the long rigger there. So I looked into it, and, yeah, just about any fish that I've seen, it'll keep its prey in its preferred eye and then turn towards that eye when it strikes.
So is it used, like it, so it's got a predominant eye,
yep.
you're surmising, and the other one is mostly a depth reader.
Give
the depth perception, yeah.
I'm given to believe that in schooling fish, one eye will be to keep an eye on the school, the other eye is to keep the eye on predators, so that they'll spin in one direction.
Ah,
yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, we're looking at the back of the boat.
Yep.
80-85%
yep,
of the time he's coming from the right,
so
you're looking at the motor.
So, yep.
He's coming from the right and then looking out of his right eye.
Out of his left eye. So if he comes up directly behind it, he's going to pick the lure that's on his left-hand side, which is on your right.
Okay.
Which is valuable when you're casting at him, I suppose.
Absolutely. So if you sight a fish in clear water, good point, by the way.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well done, Rob.
Yeah, if you sight a fish in clear water, it pays to try and put it in front of him on his left-hand side, just so he can see it.
Mm. Mm. You're exciting me, mate. When is the next trip out?
Oh, look, I've got a month away with work, but the next trip's out as soon as I get back. So I'm considering quitting at the moment.
Yeah, the work sometimes the price is just too high, basically, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah.
How many sets of gear do you have?
Do I have to answer that question?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. For billfish, 12, I think. Yeah,
that's just for billfish.
Different line classes, yeah. Yeah. So.
And Tim's almost.
What's the biggest you've ever nailed?
Look, conservative, 80 to 100 kilos. It's a bit hard if you don't.
Was that a black?
That was a black, yeah. And that was in 15 metres of water on the inshore grounds, a barrow wide, when we were coming back from a trip.
Mm.
Yeah, he was just sunning himself. Pitch to him on 10 and away you go.
And it's not unusual in some of these patches, North Gutter and Fog Bay, to hear reports of people raising dozens.
Oh, yeah, with the sales, absolutely.
With sales.
Yeah, with sales. Really exciting. I mean, last year we sighted probably 100 fish in a day, raised 50, hooked 30, boated 10. Really bad strike ratio, a bit too excited.
Yep.
But yeah.
a bit too impatient.
Yeah, there were plenty of fish around, so it goes to...
But do you fish billabongs ever?
Yeah, I've actually got a real soft spot for corroboree billabong.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, well, what did we say? 20-something rigs for...
Yeah, yeah.
So across the spectrum, what's in the shed?
300. Across the spectrum... 20-odd outfits.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's reasonable. I consider that within the realms of reason.
Thanks so much for coming in, John. We have barely touched the surface of billfish and sort of the studies you're doing and the work you're doing to try to learn them better, which is really valuable to share. You are running a blog, though, that people can get involved in and give you some feedback and ask some comments.
Absolutely. It's a little hard to find. It's an offshoot of Matt Flynn's Fish Finder forums.
Yep.
It's just a WordPress blog. And
The easiest way is if we post the link on our Facebook site and online, which we've already done.
The Fadger's been on the
Absolutely.
Job.
And I tell you what, sometime today I'll post some billfish marks for people out there.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds like a fair deal.
Yep. Good on you, mate.
So if you want to join in the blog, you can jump on that link via our Facebook site and ask John some questions and share some of the knowledge. Thanks so much for coming in.
No problem.
Great to meet you. John Sykes, who's an avid bill fisherman, and you can guarantee we'll be catching up with him a number of more times through the dry season as people start to hit the billies on the neeps.
Someone else you can guarantee on catching up with during the dry season is the esteemed Richard Margetson with Saturday Breakfast / Gardener Gold coming our way.
Thank you very much. It's very romantic in here today.
Is it?
Yes,
I
mood
think
lighting.
You set the mood lighting on the studio.
That's why Rob took his shirt off.
I was going to say, shirtless. Later on in the program, you will hear me expound my theory of why Pirates of the Caribbean 4... Mm-hmm. is very similar to a rock band's career.
Really?
And where it fits into the...
I like Captain Jack Sparrow.
Ah, yes.
I saw one and thought it was an appalling heap of crap.
But that could have been Pirates of the Caribbean 3, which
I think it was
Robert,
one or two.
Robert and his feeling about Americans.
I don't mind Johnny Depp, but that was crap. Let's face it.
Oh, well, you know, Well, my theory, well, I'll briefly expound the theory, which is that that one was like the first rock album, two was like the one that they, you know, made soon after, three was the one when they just had too much money and too much drugs, yes. And four is like the reunion album.
An absolute shame job. That's Richard Marcus and After News at 7 o'clock.
Hi, Kate O'Toole here. If you like this podcast, you can also podcast The Guest Room on ABC Local Radio. There's heaps more stories to keep you company as you drive for the next fishing trip at abc.net.au/Darwin or abc.net.au/Alice Springs.